All right. Well, if you have anything else you want to ask us, we'll be around after the service. I just wanted to take a few minutes to look at a passage of Scripture in the Psalms. If you want to turn to Psalm 90, this psalm has just done me so much good in recent years. And I'm not going to take the time to read the entire psalm, but it starts off very well-known words, Psalm 90, which is as you'll see there, you'll have a title for that psalm. It's a prayer of Moses, the man of God. So it's one of the oldest psalms in all the book of Psalms. And he says in verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And if you know anything about Moses, you'll know that God gave him the job of leading his people, Israel, out of slavery in Egypt to their home, the promised land. And yet, between the Exodus and actually the arrival in the Promised Land, you had this 40-year period of time where they wandered in the wilderness. So imagine, you know, if you were given the job, very exciting job, daunting as well, to lead people, obviously with God's help, and obviously the Lord that brought it about, to lead people from slavery to their own home, the promised land that God had said he was going to give them. If that was your job, and yet 40 years after you started, you still hadn't gotten there. And it was all due to the people just not cooperating, not trusting. You know, home is just over there, everyone. It's Canaan. We're going there. And yet here we are in tents, wandering around, knowing the Lord as your dwelling place would be really important, wouldn't it? Yes, he's got this promised land for us, but actually the Lord is our dwelling place. And that's come to mean a lot to us as people who've, you know, left our home, live in another country. I didn't mention we're actually British citizens now. We're U.S. citizens still. But we have a dual citizenship, and but it doesn't mean we're British. You know, in the U.S., when someone becomes an American citizen, you know, you can say, "Well, congratulations, you're now an American." But in Britain, you know, having a British passport doesn't make you British. It just means you have a British passport. We'll always be Americans living in Britain. The girls, maybe, you know, they can fool people. They can speak with a British accent if they choose to. I can't fake it very well. So we know what it is to kind of feel a bit rootless. You know, we live 17 years in another country. When we come back here, it doesn't really feel like home anymore, honestly. You know, I like visiting, but it's changed a lot. I've changed a lot. So knowing that the Lord is our dwelling place has become more and more of a precious truth. But you know, you'll notice in this psalm, Moses says, we and our and us. Okay, this is a corporate prayer. And even if you've lived in, I know there's a few ways to pronounce this. I learned this last time I was here. You know, Shira or Chira or, you know, I'm told locals say it all different ways, you know. So even if you've lived here all your life, is this town really your true home as a Christian? It's just temporary. It's just like a blip. And then the rest of eternity, you're going to be somewhere else. And the Lord is your dwelling place too, if you're a Christian. And in verses 3 through 11, these words are quite bleak. Moses talks about the brevity of life. Okay, verse 3, you turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, you children of men. we learn that life is fragile. Verse 5, you carry them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. Life is brief, life is fragile. And we're reminded as well in verses 7 to 10 that we are sinners. Moses talks about death and sin and the wrath of God. And those aren't subjects we turn to lift our spirits, are they? Oh, you know, I know you're having a good time. Just remember, you're going to die very soon. You know, I know that, you know, life is going well, but guess what? You are like grass and you're going to fly away very soon. You know, those aren't things we like to focus on, much less our own sinfulness and the wrath of God. Those are things Moses had to wrestle with, and we do wrestle with them. You know, in our culture, we try to pretend like those things aren't real, you know, that we're just going to preserve our youth and just go from strength to strength and hide the fact that we're sinners. But as Christians, if you know the Lord as your dwelling place, you can wrestle with those things without fear. It's okay that life is brief because you go on to be with the Lord. It's okay that we're fragile people because God is the eternal dwelling place. And it's okay. It's not okay that we're sinners, but God has provided a remedy. He's provided a remedy. And in whatever work you are seeking to accomplish, and you know, God has given us good works to do. You know, you have a job you go to that you can serve God in, even if it's not a quote-unquote Christian ministry. At your job, you are serving the Lord. You raise a family or you do something in the church as a ministry. These are all God-given things for us to do. And we come up against our weakness and our sinfulness, don't we? We often find that the work that you set out to do, you're just so limited. You cannot actually make it turn out as well as you would like it because you yourself are finite. You don't have all the answers to every problem. You are lacking energy, perhaps. And on top of it all, you're a sinner. You might even be trying to help other sinners come to know Jesus. Or, you know, if you're raising children, you're raising sinners. And you find, oh, wait, you know, I'm a sinner too. Here in your local church, you're bound together for the sake of Jesus Christ to do the work of the kingdom. And yet, you know, we all struggle with zeal and commitment and having the wisdom that we need to have. And it can cause us to despair, but you know, Moses does not despair. In fact, the second part of this psalm from verse 12 to the end is filled with bold and hopeful requests. It's astonishing, really, when you put the two halves of the psalm together. So, for example, in verse 9, Moses is reflecting on his own people and their sinfulness, and he says, verse 9, all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. But then in verse 15, he says, make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. So which is it? All our days are passed under your wrath, or make us glad for all of our days? Which is it? Well, it's only in the Lord Jesus Christ that sinners who deserve the wrath of God can be hopeful that God would make them glad all their days. You know, we live in a world that it's under the wrath of God. It's a fallen, broken world. We see in our culture evidence of God's judgment. You know, according to Romans 1, God's judgment on a culture, on a society, is that they turn away from Him. And He lets them have their way. He says, fine, you go the way that you want to go. And they think, look at us. Look how sophisticated we are. Look how advanced we are. We've left God and religion behind. And they don't even know that they're only doing that because God has judged them. And He's letting them do it. He's letting them go further and further into darkness. But when in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we are rescued from that, and we're rescued from the wrath that we deserve. And so this psalm ends in a very hopeful way with all of these requests. I'm not going to go through all of them tonight, but one that I find especially encouraging is in verses 16 and 17. He says, "Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children." And what is God's work? When Moses talks about this, you know, he's talking to God about God's work. Let your work appear unto thy servants. And essentially, God's work is the work that he gave Moses to do. God's work is to redeem his people from Egypt and lead them to the promised land. And in our case, God's work is redeeming us from sin and taking us to heaven one day and making us like his son. But then he follows up with it in verse 17, and he says, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it." Moses is praying, "Lord, give us success. Establish the work of our hands." You know, if you were setting out to build something, of course, you know, one sign that you have been successful in building that thing is that, you know, you come out the next day and it's still standing, right? It's established. It's still there. You know, if you've ever put something together, or, you know, maybe you buy, you know, flat pack furniture from IKEA or something, or some other kind of something that you've put together, and as soon as you step back, it starts to fall apart. You know, that's you know, not very encouraging. And Moses says, "Lord, establish the work of our hands. Let your beauty be upon us." And again, that only happens in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are a believer, whatever you've set out to do, it's a good work that God's given you to do. And you can pray for success. "Lord, establish this. Take what I'm doing and make something good and beautiful and lasting from it, please." You know, if you've ever been involved in any kind of Christian work, whether it's teaching a Sunday school class or helping with a VBS or something else, you know, you can easily start to feel like, is there any point to this? I mean, am I accomplishing anything through this? And really, that's God's business, to be honest. It may not look like you're accomplishing much, but you can pray, "Lord, establish the work of my hands. Take what I'm doing, though I am a fragile, sinful person. I'm just dust. I'm grass that just flourishes for a while and quickly fades away. And on top of it all, I'm a sinner. But Lord, establish the work of my hands. Take what I'm doing and make something of it. Something lasting and something beautiful." And often that means that the Lord is going to take your work and do something else with it that you didn't even envision. You know, you think you're doing one thing, and actually God's doing something you never imagined through that. And that's true here in this part of the world, and we're certainly seeing that in Wales. With God as your dwelling place, you can pray for success in your work because you are connected to the eternal God in Christ Jesus. I hope you're a believer tonight. If you're not a Christian, put your faith in Jesus Christ. You will have eternal life and be safe in Christ for all of eternity. So these verses have just come to mean a great deal to me. I've really lived in this psalm a lot in the last few years because I just find it so helpful to be reminded that the Lord establishes the work of our hands. And you can just pray that. Sometimes you don't even know what to pray for exactly. You're not even sure what the outcome of what you're doing can be or will be. And yet you can pray, "Lord, establish the work of my hands. Make something of this. Do something for your glory." And we're thankful that we see the Lord answering this prayer in some measure in North Wales. So thank you for the chance to share with you all of that tonight. And I'll turn it back over to your pastor.